This episode is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 titles across all types of literature, including books, periodicals, and more. For your free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. You guys, it's almost that time of year again where you need to start thinking about Christmas presents for the people you love. And if you really, really love those people, you'll get them a doghouse system at doghousesystems.com. Desktop, tower, or notebook. They've got you covered. They're the best gaming rigs on the planet. And their service is second to none. Be truly next generation and get a brand new Doghouse Systems gaming PC right now at doghousesystems.com.
Orthide!
You are listening to The Instance.
Everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 343, if you can believe it. Friday, October 11th, 2013, to be today's date. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Dills. Hello, Dills.
Oh, I'm just kidding this time. Whee! I'm actually here.
Scared me for a minute.
Podcast humor.
Yeah, a little bit of podcast humor there. Nice work.
Inside joke, you guys. Inside joke.
Indeed.
Everybody in the chat room knows what I'm talking about.
Also with us, warming the third chair while Terpster is at some weird conference in the UK, we have back with us Mr. Brian Ebbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Welcome to the Morning Instance.
Yes, indeed. And listen, for those listening to the show, still don't check out the morning stream. You should. We have a good time on there.
Yeah.
Do you talk about WoW?
Yeah, occasionally.
We occasionally do, yeah.
Okay.
Usually on like Thursdays, because we're going to raid that night and we'll talk about what we're going to do, or somebody did something weird in the raid night before and we'll talk about that. And always an opportunity to slip it in somewhere.
That's right. Sure, we talked about Hearthstone, so
slip it in.
You feel right at home.
we've talked a lot about the Guild Hall, which will be at BlizzCon, which, by the way, people have about an hour and a half still to support it. So if you're in the chat room and you're listening live, go to tiny.cc/AIE Guild Hall, and you can still support the Guild Hall at BlizzCon, which is now less than a month away.
Oh, my God.
Till we enter the pearly gates of
Anaheim.
Anaheim, indeed. and Dills confirmed. You're coming, yeah?
I'm a coming, yeah.
All right.
I'm not just coming. I'm a coming.
You're a coming.
Yeah. I'm a coming.
I'm a coming.
He'll be the homeless looking guy sleeping in the corner of the Guild Hall. It'll be great.
You know what I'm really hoping for is that by the time it's BlizzCon time, magically Hearthstone is out on an iPad.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
My prediction holds. I still think we get it at least by that day. I think official launch day might be that weekend. That's what I think.
I think we're looking for at least open beta.
Really?
At least.
Well, at least open beta. See, the problem with all of this is none of it means tablet version, you know, until actual launch.
But you know what? I'll guarantee you there will be an opportunity to play the tablet version there somewhere.
Oh,
someone's
going
to have it in Blizzard, and we're going to be able to see it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's all kinds of stuff, and they got some other things planned, which we're excited to talk about. But it's good to have you both here, and we hope Terpster's having fun hobnobbing with the alcohol-consuming masses of whatever UK thing he's at this week.
Right.
Should have him back soon, though, so watch for that. And he's also coming to BlizzCon. In fact, we all are.
Yeah,
we'll all
back.
Be there.
He's a champion.
Yep.
He's the, what is it? What was it? The awesome, epic tournament of epic awesomeness?
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that podcast he doesn't do anymore? That one.
No. Not that. The voting thing.
That thing. Yeah, he won that weird tournament thing.
Yeah.
I talked a bunch before the show to the chat room about that thing, and it's over now. In the final battle that was the semifinals with me and Terpster beat me and then went on to beat Coltrane, and I just want this to be said and heard from here till the sun sets that we have one great big awesome podcasting community in and around World of Warcraft and Blizzard in general, and I love that it's as vibrant as it is, and there are so many cool people making so much good content. So that's all I'm going to say.
I think
that.
It was really awesome that the three of us all made the final four.
Yeah.
I think that was just meant you guys like us, and we like you.
Yeah, I was like Duke in the end, and I got beat by Gonzaga or something.
Look at you. There's some sports stuff coming out of you. What?
Hey, I follow, a little bit of the stuff here and there once in a while. I mean,
Scott knows about balls and throwing them.
Yeah, hucking them and making touchdowns and scoring goals and things. I'm into that. Sure. But Brian, it's, thank you for sitting in. We appreciate it.
Oh my God. It's, I'm happy to be here. I had a blast last time and, I hope I'm able to contribute.
Well, this is the sign. If the fact that you're back meant that we had some feedback that said, hey, Brian's a pretty good guest when you don't have all three of you, so why don't you have him again?
Yeah. That's well, kinda... As long as he's not tanking the floor, Brian.
That's right.
Unfortunately, he spends half a raid tanking the floor.
Last night you did. What the hell was going on with that?
Well, a couple of times I hit the button that automatically shadow steps behind my target.
Yeah.
And like instantly shoom, puts me right behind him. Well, that's not good if the tank hasn't already gotten aggro from that target.
No.
Because then they just turn around and say, what the hell are you, flick?
So here's how it went. This is my impression of our raids last night. Two or three of our attempts on the one that we wiped on. I hear, all right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, and then I hear, damn it. And it was always you who was yelling, damn it.
It totally was, yeah. That's exactly what happened. I'd pop right behind, accidentally pop right behind Norshin or whoever, and
it's not Norshin, though. It's the
the Shah of
irritation.
Yeah, it's the amalgam of corruption.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Thank you.
Yes.
The Shah of pain in the ass.
I remembered
something.
He just
squishes me.
Yeah. That's a really fun fight, but a hard fight.
I think it's really cool that we actually got to the point now where we have enough people in the raid, in our flex raid, that we have almost the full mechanics of a 25-man raid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had 5 of the orbs and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And, I admit to my own lack of information the first couple times we did that fight.
Right.
And I wasn't there for our original kill, but when I had to go down into the test of serenity or whatever the test is for me, I can't remember.
Yeah. Click an orb and phase into
click an orb, you go down, you got to kill some ads. I didn't realize, I was like so frustrated. I was like, why do they keep deflecting everything I'm doing?
Right.
Finally, I realized they put up shields and you got to run behind them, which is really annoying for a hunter because it takes us, unless I can, you know, leap really quickly behind them with a disengage.
Yeah.
It's tough for me to. They're all spread out around the room. I got to really run a long way.
Oh, you don't have boomerang. You don't have boomerang curved arrow shot then yet, because that's
no,
I
have
that.
Okay. I have the glaive, but the glaive will only hit them once. It won't hit them on the way
there.
No,
you're right. You're totally right. Yeah, so that was hard for me too when I first got in there. Part of it is I think you're pretty. I wouldn't call you a statistician or anything, but you were able to kind of see past graphical overlay in a video game and see down to the core meat of the math that's going on. And that's always helped you nail things like higher DPS than other people in the raid, or in the case of Hearthstone, I mean, you've really got the numbers down. And I think sometimes it's a tendency to go into a place like that and you're still sort of seeing it through the matrix. It's like the dropping green characters in the matrix that's supposed to supposedly make up the world, but really you're just looking at numbers and going, all right, well, I know what my rotation is. I know where I need to be. And I forget. Sometimes even I forget. Oh, he's literally got a shield in front of him, and it literally says whatever the pop up words.
Yeah, it says like immune or
deflected or something.
Or whatever,
and you're like, wait, what? How come?
Yeah, you just keep shooting him anyway. Like, come on, man! The hell?
Does not
at some
compute.
Point I'll get through that shield.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Scott. Though here's a good little trick. As soon as you pop in there, they don't have shields for the first couple seconds, and you're basically killing the one that can actually move first.
The one that's carpet bombing and all that.
Yeah, because he's coming at you and he's shooting the little he's shooting that little cone of poop in front of him.
Right.
And so what I've been doing is drop an explosive trap on one guy, drop a snake trap on the other guy, and hit the other guy with like, you know, a serpent sting or something like that. So they're all taking a little bit of damage while I then take care of the guy that's moving around.
I did not.
Then by
even
the time
think
I get back
that.
To them,
yeah.
By the time I get back to them, they're much lower on health.
I didn't even think of that. I mean, I literally when I go into a phase thing like that, I always think I'm in some sort of weird magical place where all the rules of the outside world don't apply. I really do.
True,
and I just pew my way to victory and don't think about crowd control or, you know, damage over time or anything else, and that always bites me in the butt. So it took
you also got black arrow. I mean, you can throw a bunch of dots on them and then just like start bursting down the one dude who's moving.
Yeah,
because he goes down pretty fast. So
yeah, the whole thing isn't hard. Once you get behind the dudes, it's not too bad one way or the other in terms of it. You know, I never walk out of there dead, and it's only happened once where I didn't beat him before the timer was up. Yeah. But even then, it'd be nice to. I would be a better help to our team if I get in there, get out, and you know,
yeah.
get back to right, DPS and bosses.
What's also very helpful in that fight too is to have a rocket belt. Rocket belt makes it being an engineer because I can run around them a lot quicker. So I got disengage. I got rocket belt. I really want a forward disengage though. Still, we talked about this at one point.
We have talked
show.
About it. Yeah,
I want to be able to just. Punch it and not have to turn my back before I do it. I mean, it's not that hard, but
right.
I just think it'd be really fun to just. I would like to see that, just the animation of me like flying forward, like waving my arms. You know,
yeah, just be pretty cool. I would love that. That reminds me of something that is kind of unrelated, but sort of not. The thing that is it priests or is it mages? Who are the guys that can yank you up from anywhere?
Priests.
Okay.
Life
pole. Is it?
Well, it's not actually called that though.
Someone always called it that. But anyway,
yeah.
You know when somebody just in life, all right, just walks up to you and
leap of faith. Thank you, John.
Leap of faith. Someone walks up and smacks you in the face for no reason, and how your adrenaline kicks in and makes you want to just freaking tear that guy apart. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Sure.
When somebody does that, when a priest does that to me, that's what it makes me want to do.
Really?
Now, I don't, I'm not,
this
I'm willing.
Like grabbing you. It's basically like grabbing you by the back of the collar and saying,
Yeah, going, come here. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
And I realize it's mostly like, who was it? Who was doing this all the time before? He's not raiding with us now. I forgot already. Dude in Oakland. What's his name? Oh, shite.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
That guy would do it constantly as a joke, right?
And so it's a funny joke.
It is a funny joke, especially when I get so enraged. So when somebody did it to me last night, and I don't know why they did it. They were just goofing around or whatever. But my first instinct is to turn around like jerk dude at a high school in an 80s movie. Just turn around and go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just punch him in the face. And your thing about, you know, disengaging forward reminded me of that. Just kind of this thing where I'm like, okay, here I am. I'm eating a noodle bowl. And some a-hole yanked me up to the upper cave for no reason. No offense to whoever that was last night. I have no ill will. I just don't know why I have this reaction. It's kind of a visceral gut reaction to that.
No, I get it. Yeah. It's like someone grabbing you by the shoulder and flipping you around. It's just like, what?
Yeah.
You just want to punch him. Right,
Brian, in that amalgam of irritation fight, is it true that, whatever his name is it true? A lot of people are saying that they think this is the most... That and maybe this whole raid is the most melee DPS friendly raid in a while. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's true?
Certainly not this fight. This is a fight where you're constantly changing targets. It's like
you got to go get ads and stuff.
It's
so.
It's almost all ads. I spend very little time actually on the boss. So in the case of this one, no. In the case of even the council, the one that you do right before this one, you're running around. You're having multiple bosses. Everybody's having to switch around too.
That's
which is
Runt,
much harder for melee.
That's Runt, Pedro, and he. Those are that's that fight, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Yes.
Damn it, Pedro. But what about the one fight? Because I don't even know what the melee does. That the first fight where he breaks up into pieces and then comes down the waterways. What are you doing? Because the boss isn't even there anymore. Do you actually run out and DPS?
Yeah, no, I'm
ads?
Switching. I'm DPSing the blobs. That's the most melee friendly fight so far in this in this raid. But everything else is like constant target switching. At least you know with Water Boss, you're 90% of the time you're staying on him and just pounding the heck out of him, and then just sidestepping out of the poo he throws down on the ground.
Yeah.
Boy, the other ones. It's 30 seconds on Sun, 30 seconds on Rook, 30 seconds on He, 30 seconds on misery and gloom and sadness or whatever they are.
Yeah, it's always been the thing
SMG.
For melee is having to switch targets, and you actually have to run to each target if they're not right next to each other.
And that's why that shadow step thing is so nice because and I've got a program so getting this from you guys using the roller wheel on my mouse as my number one attack, right? So whatever I'm doing, my sinister strike is up and down on that thing. Well, if I press down on that roller ball, that's a third mouse button. And that's what I'm using for shadow steps. So if I overpress, but I need it to be something I can easily get to because it's like, oh, I'm attacking that guy, boop, arm behind him, stabby.
Yeah. That's so funny. I at one point had feigned death t- tied to that button. That was a mistake. Yeah. And at another point, I had a feigned death tie.
I don't tie anything to it just because of that.
Yeah, it's dangerous because you're going to hit it no matter what. So it's got to be something you're not worried about expending once in a while. But the time I had feigned death and push to talk mapped to the same side mouse button.
Oh.
And I just didn't realize it. So I'd be like, someone would say, Scott, GURP, you ready for this? And I'd go, every time. Totally blow
it's,
my...
You know what it's like? It's like in Grand Theft Auto how the left joystick, if you push down on it, that's the horn while you're driving.
Yeah, right.
So basically, I'm just laying on my horn every time I'm doing anything in a car.
Turning around a corner?
I can't help but push down while I'm trying to move. I don't know. It's like the worst place to put the horn.
It's like driving in China is what that's like. Well, good stuff. I had a quick note here I wanted to make about Hearthstone. I've made a decision, I believe, and Dills, you can reprimand me if you want on this. I'm curious about your thoughts. So part of it, there's a lot of things going on that push me toward this decision, not the least of which is I'm moving on Halloween, and so there's a lot going on between now and that day. So I think I've decided with Hearthstone to not play, well, maybe not at all, but I'll still play some, but I'm not going to play at the rate I was playing before either in full open beta launch or just straight up launch. And I think it's again, partly due to my schedule. But also, I am to that stage where I know they're not going to wipe it again. I understand that, right? Or at least they've said that.
Yeah, they're not going to.
If
they did now, that would just be...
But do you find yourself so desirous of that tablet version that it... Well, you're not a good person to ask this because you're playing like crazy and you're loving it and it's going great. But I want that tablet version so bad.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, right now I'm playing 90% of my games I'm playing on my tablet, and it's mostly Puzzle Quest, Marvel I'm playing the crap out of, and a couple other things. I do crosswords on there, stuff like that. Yeah. So to be able to have Hearthstone on that would be so much nicer than having to play it on my laptop or my PC or whatever.
And you, Dills, you had said your theory is that no open beta maybe, but no release before or at BlizzCon in your opinion.
Yeah, probably open beta at BlizzCon, and probably, well, I think maybe like one big wave of everybody who's at BlizzCon gets a beta key.
Yeah.
And then like a week later, it's like full open beta or release or something, but
right.
we're going to get something for being at BlizzCon for sure. But I don't see it. There's still some outstanding bugs. None of them are that crazy, but they're crazy enough. They're still like, so right now the minions will kind of dance around sometimes, and they're not actually in the position you think they're in. And sometimes when a card gets returned to your hand, it will sit on the board rather than going back to your hand correctly, and it'll like be under a minion. And there's been some other weird stuff. So
just bugs, little bugs here and there.
These aren't like game breaking bugs. These are just small things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I do think that we're not going to be seeing the actual release at BlizzCon. And the iPad release, I don't know. Maybe they'll try to do it concurrent. Like maybe they'll try to do it at the same time. Like,
well, you'd hope
full release plus iPad.
The hard bit about that, and obviously they can get some help with this because they're, you know, it's Blizzard, but because I've heard EA can do this a little bit. But if you get that thing into Apple's hands, they go through the approval process. They can probably time that out pretty well.
Yeah.
So that they launch around the same time. I just hope they do because I really want to play that way. My kids are just pining to play. Now they can get their own Battle.net accounts. It's all free. It's not like they have to, you know, go buy WoW to do this.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty stoked about all of that.
Well, you know, that makes sense, though, because I figured out how to play Hearthstone on my iPad.
Tell us about this. What'd you do? This is weird.
So I downloaded the app Splash Top. There was one issue with it, and it costs money, and that is that if you want to play, like, at work, or, like, you know, like I was on my lunch break and I went into, we have like a little room with a couch in it and stuff, and pulled it up and I was like, well, I'm going to try this out here. And I actually did. I played a few games, but you have to pay for like some fee. It's like $1.99 a month or something to be able to access another network, like two different networks basically. But I had tried this before with like TeamViewer or something like that, and it did not work at all. And I tried it with Splash Top, and it is working great. I mean, I sat in my bed last night and played an arena run, went 9-1 with a druid, all in my bed.
Wow.
And, you can you know, tap the card and drag it forward and stuff. And sometimes every now and then it'll kind of, you can see the network is struggling to connect or whatever. And it, you know, gets a little bit buggy for a second, but overall it's pretty good.
So to do like, you know, one of the aspects is to be able to hover over something to see what it does without clicking on it.
So that's obviously what you do actually is you just click it. If you click it, it'll actually, it thinks like you're hovering basically. But okay. So you can like drag stuff and then let it go and it'll work that way too. So, you know,
remind me the name. What's the name of the app again?
Splash Top.
All right.
Yeah. And I friggin' put this in the Hearthstone Reddit, and Reddit is amazing because Reddit will downvote anything. I'm like, guess what, guys? I found a way to play it on my iPad. Downvote.
Down.
Like, get out of here with your beta key. So I put it in the, people saying they only see Splash Top 2. I think there's Splash Top 2 and Splash Top, either one, I think is fine. I think it's the same thing, basically. But yeah, so it costs some money, and, you know, it depends on your network because you're remotely accessing your computer. So you're literally running Hearthstone on your computer and using your iPad to do it. And the way I've been doing it is using the native resolution of my computer and then running Hearthstone in windowed mode and then just zooming in on just the Hearthstone window.
And that's just seems to work pinch well. You pinch and zoom on that window?
Yeah, you pinch and zoom, yeah.
Okay.
And then once you do that, as long as you don't touch the screen with two fingers anymore, it's not going to move around, you know, so you just use one finger from then on out.
Well, it sounds like it's a nice mix of it works and also it's janky, and that's a fun mix for
me.
Yeah,
mind you know, it's not the full client, obviously. It's a workaround. It's me wanting to play Hearthstone in my bed so bad that I went out and spent $10 to do it.
Well, it's a $10 app. That's
I think it's like $6.99 for the app, and then I spent $1.99 for the month of. And I figure like I won't have to spend $1.99 anymore in the future. And you know, I don't know. It's a good app. It's actually a really good app for accessing my computer with my iPad, which is a useful feature regardless.
So hold on, so you pay for the app, and then you pay a monthly fee to use it.
No, you pay a monthly fee if you want to use it not on the same network.
Oh.
So if I'm at work and I'm accessing my home computer, then I have to pay this $1.99 or whatever.
Got it.
But it's literally the best one I've found as far as how it actually works. I mean, I've used a few of these other ones before, and they're all really, really difficult to use. And it's this one just seems to work really smoothly.
All right. Well, that sounds great. I want to. Yeah. I want to play with it just to see how that thing pans out.
It's like one of those things. It's to me, it's worth $10 just to mess around with this and like figure this stuff out. Yeah. So yeah, Splash Top Personal. That's the one I got. The one that I had used before. Let me see if I can find what it was called. Oh, Ignition. And Ignition wasn't working for me at all. So this one seems to work a lot better.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Quick note. I want to wish Sam and Michelle happy marriage day. They got hitched the other day, and they're listeners of the show. Just want to give them a little shout out. Hope you guys are doing awesome. Congratulations, guys. Marriage is great.
Big news of the week.
Big news of the week this week brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. The ultimate in gaming rigs. This is the time of year to get a brand new gaming PC, folks. You got big holidays coming up. You got people you like in your life, and you want to be able to give them the best possible next generation gaming experience. Look no further than Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. I love mine. I made out with it last night before raid, and then patted it on the head.
That was the problem.
Yeah, see, there's your problem. I love mine. I absolutely love mine. I throw anything and all things at it, and it plays everything on maximum everything. And what else can you ask for a great gaming rig than that? You can find more at doghousesystems.com. Use the code Henry. That's the name of my World of Warcraft pet. Use Henry as your code at checkout. Get double the memory at doghousesystems.com. We appreciate their support of the show. All right, the BlizzCon Hearthstone Innkeeper's Invitational. This is a thing, and I quote, "Some dedicated members of the Hearthstone community have been bestowed the honor of showing you just a taste of what competitive card slinging is all about in our featured one-time Hearthstone BlizzCon exhibition tournament, the Innkeeper's Invitational. The idea behind the Invitational is simple. Take some of the Hearthstone's most passionate players and pit them against each other in an all-holds-barred deathmatch. They are putting on stage in the top bracket, Day 9 versus Wreckful, Hafu versus Kipperarian,
Kiparian.
I like Kiparian.
Yeah. I don't watch that guy, so I don't know. I'm sure he's great.
Yeah, Kiparian, though, one of the best hunters ever. That guy used to do ridiculous DPS when he played WoW.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, yeah. He's found a new addiction, clearly. And Day 9, taking a break from StarCraft, too.
He also was the world first hardcore Diablo in the hard mode, the hardest mode, where you would die and lose everything.
Oh, yeah, hardcore, I guess.
Hardcore character? But Inferno. Yeah, hardcore Inferno, and he killed Diablo.
Oh, good lord. Really?
World wow. first.
That yeah. guy deserves to be on stage for whatever they need
to
do.
A day before they nerfed the whole game, apparently. Like, they're going to nerf the whole game, and he was like, screw that, I got to do it before that. So he spent like 12 hours playing the game and did it.
I would call him a dedicated professional gamer. That's what I'd call
him. He likes
the
Blizzard games.
Yeah.
He likes the Blizzard games.
Seems to like that. Bottom bracket will be Trump versus Husky. So, you know, it's good to see Donald Trump coming down.
I'd pay
from
to see that, actually. I would pay Trump, big money to see that battle.
Trump is a really, really good Hearthstone Arena player. He's like, I would say he's the best one that I've watched. He's really analytical. He knows all his stuff. Husky, I don't know about. Husky's
good.
More
Husky
StarCraft guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's good, I haven't watched him play Hearthstone, but I imagine he's got something figured out if he's getting invited.
Yeah,
so,
the chances are he's
we'll see it. But most people are saying that Trump is just going to raffle stomp Husky.
He's
so
Trump everybody. Do you think Trump is required by some sort of bylaw to, when he beats Husky, to stand up and yell, "You're fired" when he's done? Maybe not. Okay.
Yeah, he's got some
to brag
some
about every single card he has.
right. But they do have a hair code at BlizzCon. You can't just walk in there with really bad comb overs. So be prepared for that. Noxious versus Artosis.
Yeah, these two guys, again, like Artosis is more of a caster and stuff, but Noxious is supposedly pretty good. I haven't watched any of his streams. I know Wreckful in Day 9 is probably going to be fairly even. I'm kind of thinking Kriparian's going to beat Hafu, although she's gotten a ton better. And I think it's going to go Trump versus Krip in the finals, and I think Trump's going to take it.
All right.
That's my prediction now.
All right. I love these. Yep. I love that, A, you have enough inside knowledge on how these guys are playing to make that prediction, and B, I like predictions. It'll be fun to see how it turns out.
Yeah. I've actually watched almost all of these guys stream Hearthstone, except I haven't watched Husky, I haven't watched Noxious or Artosis, but I have seen everybody else.
Yeah. I watched Day 9. He's good.
Day 9 is just a really smart guy.
Yeah, so. He's just good at everything. So
yeah, he's just kind of good video games.
That guy's good.
I'll say this too. Last night I watched Kriparian blow about $300 on cards. I think he bought 6 40 packs for $50 each. And I think he's got now like 15, somewhere between 15 and 20 legendaries. And he like crafted Golden Ysera last night.
Wow.
Just so
wow.
He could have like golden dream cards.
So that guy, yeah, he's spending those fat Benjamins he makes from his Twitch streaming. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know, man. I need to be making this money off Twitch. What the hell? Yeah. How do you just blow $300 in cards?
Yeah, I can't even imagine that. I know I blow $300 on a phone once in a while, but
I spent a total of like $30 on this game, and I think that's all I'll ever spend on it. I think that's it. I think I'm done.
Well, look for 2014. Dill's up on stage. Taking on, let's put you against Trump, because why not?
Sure, I'll play Trump. I've actually beaten Krip in Arena several times. I've never played Trump. There's another guy, Silas, who's apparently, he won this other tournament, and I beat him a few times. Every time I see these names, I'm always like, oh, gotta take note.
Silas, yeah.
Now, when they match you up with an Arena opponent, it's still based on your level, right? So you're not, they're not going to put me up against all these guys the first time I get into Arena. And
the way that it works in Arena for Hearthstone is if you are 0-0, it's going to try to put you up against another person who's also 0-0. So you don't know who you're going to get at first. And then let's say you're 0-2, you can't win and you're down. You're going to face other people who are 0-2 or 1-2 or somewhere in that range. So like when I played Krip, I remember I played him, and then I wanted to turn the stream on to see what he was saying about the game, because I just beat him. And so I turned it on, and I see that he was 6-2 at that time. And I think beating him made me 6-1. So it's basically, it tries to get you in that range. So if you're, so that's why it's actually really difficult to get 9 wins, because when you get up there, like after 7 wins, you're going to be playing other people who have really good decks. They might have a lot of legendaries in them, or they're just really good players. So.
Huh.
Okay. All right. So it's It still tries to match up with someone who's got the same win-loss record.
It's not your overall skill level in Hearthstone. It's your basically how well you're doing in that current arena run. Gotcha. Now, if you're playing a constructed ladder, then you are going to be playing other people who are in, like, you know, 2-star copper, 3-star master, all that kind of, you know, 1-star diamond. It's going to try to match you up with other people who are similar to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Right. I can't wait to see how this all goes. I'm sure we'll see.
It's going to be fun to watch for sure. Yeah. It's, I don't think there's any like prize money or anything, but I think Blizzard, they invited these people. I think they're taking care of them pretty well.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some sort of trophy or something. And yeah, it'll be fun. I'd like to get a chance to meet some of these guys too, because I've watched them all play and I have a lot of respect for a lot of their games. So it should be fun.
Pretty sure Day Nine's got a permanent suite at the Hilton anyway. That's just
Yeah.
His, you know, big hot tub and about 10 girls, and, you know,
right.
He just shows up whenever they need him. You know, I'm kidding, everybody. Keep your emails to your freaking selves.
Yeah.
What else?
Somebody in the chat room asked me whose stream I would recommend for someone who's new to Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Well, I'd recommend mine.
Yeah, yours is great.
Willie Dills SF. But I don't stream as much as some of these other guys. Some of these other people are full time streamers. That's their job.
Yeah.
But Kriparian, Trump, Hafu's on quite a bit, but she's hit or miss on whether she's like teaching you how to play or just hanging out having fun. Elohim is also a lot of fun to watch. He's really good.
Oh, the Lord himself.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. And Total Biscuit's got a lot of videos on YouTube. But also Hearthpwn on YouTube has a lot of really good stuff too.
Yep.
And there's just a ton out there. So what I'd say is just go on Twitch. Click on Hearthstone and just see who's on. Ecop is one of the guys in EU, and he's always bragging about his 80% win rate. But you know, he plays very different than everybody else, so it's interesting to see it from another perspective as well. So,
all right.
I recommend checking them all out.
Check them all out, man. I was gonna say something about something right then about something, and I don't remember what it is. So never mind, I forget. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. There is some news coming soon from Dills's direction. That we don't have to talk about, other than we can say we've already said, right? Like last week, we kind of said there was a show coming, right?
Yeah, well, we can mention. I'm going to say it again at the end of the show, though.
Yeah.
But myself, Garrett Weinzierl, StarCast, and Jocelyn Moffitt, we are starting a Hearthstone podcast called The Angry Chicken.
Yeah.
So first show will actually be Monday.
Oh, nice. And, that quick. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, we're turning it around pretty fast. Garrett's got a bunch of stuff already made up for it, and it's gonna be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think you go. Let me see. He's Skyping me right now and telling me where all this stuff is.
Yeah, like domains and all that.
Yeah, you'll be able to find it at the amove.tv/TAC for the Angry Chicken. It'll be on iTunes and all that stuff too. I think on Twitter we're gonna be. TAC podcast. Thank you to someone in the chat room for recommending that.
Yeah.
And check it out. We're also going to be live. So we're going to be doing all this live on Monday.
Nice.
7 p.m. Pacific time on amove.tv. So
very cool. I'm really excited. Yeah. Gets a little bit deeper into the whole Hearthstone thing. Don't worry. Dills will still be here smattering his genius about that game.
The beauty of it is all those people who've left us 1-star reviews because we talk about too much Hearthstone. Yeah. I'll have gotten all of that out of my system because this is my only outlet currently.
Yeah.
And sorry. But you know what? We talk about we don't live in a vacuum.
No, we don't.
All stuff. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No one wants to live in a vacuum. There's a lot of cat hair.
There's so much overlap between the two games that you kind of have to talk about one with the other.
Yeah.
I don't see what the problem is. Like, Hearthstone is literally a game based on the World of Warcraft universe. How would we not talk about it?
Right. That seems impossible to me. If we talk about Diablo occasionally, which has even less of a connection, and yet still we do it. So
You guys talk too much about the World of Warcraft movie. That's not the game. I come here to listen to talk about the game.
Well, sorry, folks. News is news.
Hardcore strategy. That's what I want all the time.
News is news.
Nope, not going to happen.
If you want to meet with your friends at BlizzCon, here's another thing that just came out this week, or a little bit longer than that. BlizzCon is a great place to meet up with friends, says Blizzard. Guildmates and other cohorts this year, we're providing you with a perfect space right on the show floor, located between halls B and C. I'm trying in my head to imagine where this is. I think I kind of know. There's a weird kind of corridor there between those halls that was really empty. All 2011's event was just like nobody there. People would transfer or, you know, kind of traverse through there. but there was really nothing going on. The only eventful thing that happened between B and C for me is I ran into Cat Hunter and hugged her, and that was it. That's as good as it got between Halls B and C. The Meeting Stone is what they're going to call it, is easy and recognizable gathering point, and it will literally contain a giant-sized Meeting Stone. It's a big, giant freaking thing with a glowing...
That's awesome. I just want to see that. I would like to see like one guy sitting by it.
What should they do, Brian?
They should make that the only place you can get cell reception in the whole building, so that you literally have to go to the Meeting Stone to summon your friends.
That's a great idea. And the stone would be, that could be the Wi-Fi
hotpoint.
It would
be the cell, exactly right. It would be the cell tower would be hidden inside the stone.
That's
perfect.
Great.
I just want to see like one guy there by himself, and everybody who goes by is like, hey, do you want to play? Do you want to raid? Do this little dungeon over here? No? Okay.
Want to come with us? We're going to go to the gift shop. Want to come with us?
Because that used to be what like every Meeting Stone was like. You go by and there'd be one guy chilling. He's like, hey, man, what's up? You want to run this? Yeah. You want to run it with me? Come on.
That's so true. No more hiking.
Sorry, I'm heading over there. So
says no more hiking upstairs to squint at each other in a well-lit room. This year, we'll be able to meet up at a central location and be, let's see, there'll be a scant few meters away from the main stage, demo areas, and other attractions, and they will have a ton of Blizzard personnel there to sort of say, hey, you guys looking for the... They'll answer your questions. They'll send you on your way and do whatever they got to do. So there's that. Exciting stuff. Also, Blizzard did a dev roundtable with Morgan Webb of X... What was that show called? X something? Not X Files. X Play.
Mm-hmm.
That's not on anymore. She sat around with a bunch of guys and they talked about a bunch of stuff. And I thought there were some interesting points. I wanted to bring them up here. Talking about flex raiding, over 50% of flex raids last week. This would have been a week before. Well, soon, no, it would have been last week. Week before this one. Had two or more raid sizes. So people are really making use of the flexible size feature. And that means that over 50% of the raids had multiple times during the raid night where people either came in or came out, at least two times where, you know, that happened. So, you know, you might have started with 18 and finished with 16, or you might have seen that fluctuate between six different people all the different times of the night or whatever. That seems good for flex raiding, because that seems like that's the whole point of flex raiding. It was flexible enough for people to come and go. And last night we all raided and the same thing kind of happened. Nicole Spag, who raided with us, showed up kind of late, about an hour late or something. She couldn't get in any earlier than that. And when she did, no problem, squeezed her right in. Great. Mm-hmm. And then other people had to leave toward the end, and a way smaller group tried to move on to the next boss. And it was fine. So I walked away with new shoulders and a new bow, and I couldn't be happier with how things went last night. So anyway, that's how that all goes. Let's see. Siege of Orgrimmar is one of... Or no, I was skipping one. Roughly the same amount of people did a flex raid last week as the number that did scenarios. That's interesting. That strikes me as, since scenarios are more of a kind of PvE, you know, kind of a relaxed sort of, I don't know, casual experience typically, does that mean that...
Mm-hmm. Are they talking about looking for scenario groups or just planned, like, pre-assembled scenario groups?
People that ran flex, so the same amount of individual people ran flex raids of some sort last week as did ran scenarios, meaning if 100 people ran flex, that many people ran scenarios. And scenarios are such
in any form.
Right. Yeah. And my point is that scenarios are such a casual way to get into the game or to play the game. I think that's interesting to see perhaps that some of that audience who, you know, wants to have a more casual experience in the game are somehow getting together, finding friends and people that are looking for flex groups that have, again, I keep using the word flexible, but that's the point, have a more flexible way to play. And I think that's probably good statistics for Blizzard. I can't imagine they see that as a bad thing. Because that isn't to say
so. The scenarios are full of people who are a little more casual, I think. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Does to me too. But the reason I think it's good is this. It's organized casual. It's not LFR casual. Where LFR casual is just, I'm just getting in and this sucked and that guy's a jerk and now I'm out. This is more, no, you still need to show up. Oh, you were 10 minutes late. No big deal. We just come on in. You know, so the casual part.
Scott, you're totally skipping. Like audio is dropping.
Dropping like crazy. I didn't hear anything you just said. Yeah.
What the heck, man? I think there's something up with the world.
But I think it's just Skype because
Skype is screwing the pooch right now.
I think Skype. Right. So here's the deal. I did an automatic Skype update.
Chat room's not complaining.
Yeah, they're not hearing anything. I think they're hearing you guys cut whenever you cut, but it's small. But I think Skype. I did an update. Had the auto update feature on, I'm going to roll back to the last one. Mm-hmm. Microsoft, you bastards.
Right?
Because seriously, it's been like this since then, which was yesterday. And I'm not doing that anymore, you jerks. So take that.
I hate that. I hate when the new stuff breaks. Like, it's really, everything was working just fine.
Everything was fine before. It wasn't a problem. Why did you have to go changing? All right. Where are we here? You guys are still there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Skype.
Yeah, you'll drop out for like a couple seconds and we just hear clicks.
Really? That sucks. It is Skype, isn't it? F you, Skype. Yep. Oh, you bastards. All right. Well, we'll do what we can do.
Yeah,
I'm going to roll back. There's that
We're able to figure it out in context.
Right.
Yeah. At least I can read the show notes and then I can guess when I'm supposed to talk.
There's a site out there that might actually be helpful for people if they're looking to roll back to previous versions of applications they have. And I can't remember the name of it, but you can literally go back and go, all right, well, I want the version of Skype I had four versions ago. And you can go get it and download it and install it over the top.
I don't know about the site of it either.
That's really cool. Chat room, you guys get on that, will you? You find that for me?
File Hippo, somebody said.
Is it File Hippo? No.
It doesn't sound familiar, but maybe they do it as well.
Maybe. They might. It was more like a name that was literally like rollback.com or old, where's that old app.com or something. Something dumb like that.
I know. I like it. I like it better when they name their sites like that. Yes. Oh, oldapps.com is what it is.
Here's what we're going to do. All right, we're back. Sorry. Fixed. Problem fixed. I don't even want to go into it, chat or listeners. Fine. We're not going to bug you with it. Don't worry. What else? Siege of Orgrimmar is one of the more melee-friendly raid zones. We talked about that, but Brian, you're not sure until we get through
that. I don't necessarily agree.
I mean, so far, we're what, 3-4 bosses in, so there's plenty more. But
it's 14 total, right?
Yeah. So maybe the other 10 are just killing it with melee. Yeah. I don't know. The gnome race didn't... Oh, this is great. This slipped out. People are always saying, why aren't the gnomes represented in any of the opening cinematics? And their answer was, and I think it was Tom Chilton, I'm not 100% on who said it, the gnome race didn't exist when the original WoW cinematic was being worked on, which is why they didn't appear in it, and everyone else did. There hasn't been a good opportunity to showcase gnomes in a cinematic since then. Now,
yeah, because we haven't had an opportunity to do anything gnome-related since then. Like,
right.
Nothing gnome-related.
That's what I like about this.
No one goes there. They don't have a city.
Yep.
Their city is a friggin' dungeon. Like, there's nothing. All gnomes are, and all gnomes have ever been to me, is my Alliance Bank tune that now I have not logged onto in forever.
Could be dead for all you know.
I have no clue. I'm pretty sure he's naked, though, and he's chilling in Ironforge. That
line is so telling. There hasn't been a good opportunity to showcase gnomes in a cinematic
since
then. No, probably not. I mean, imagine.
It never will be.
I could see. Here's how I could see it. Opening cinematic. Go with me here. There's a little gnome sitting at a table, and he's studiously working on some project, like some science-y thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's beakers full of liquid bubbling. Thing, sure. Yeah. Something's going on, and he discovers some terrible truth and has to run and tell the king or something. There you go. There's how you get your little weasel in there, and everyone's happy. Okay. And then finally, BlizzCon is said to have, quote, an exciting glimpse into the future of WoW as well as a live raid. An exciting glimpse into the future of WoW. That's either the most boilerplate, tell us nothing answer, or there's some big deal around the corner.
That's actually what it says on the letterhead is, you know, that it's not even written by anybody. It's already printed on the piece of paper when they come up with something new.
It does seem a little vague to the point of, I'm not even
titillated. We're
going to
hear
about
6.0, obviously.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's perfect timing for that. We're in the tail end here of, you know, we're finally going after the big baddie. And so we're going to hear about, I've heard some stuff. I've heard that there's going to be some class reworkings, which is pretty standard. I've heard hunters might even get like almost another full revamp.
Oh, really? Like an overhaul level, like a focus level overhaul? That's crazy.
I'm not sure exactly what that means. I mean, they feel kind of okay to me right now, but, you know, we'll see. And then I think we might get another class here. Maybe a class and a race at the same time.
Wow.
I would love that.
Yeah. You know we're going to get, well, I mean, it's an expansion, so you're going to get, that's when they bring out the big stuff. So I suspect a new class, I suspect new race, maybe. If their pattern holds true, though, we should expect two new races and no new classes.
But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think this time we're going to get a new class and race at the same time. And I've heard tale of a buffing type class, which sounds like a bard to me.
Yeah. So sounds bardy.
Sounds very bardy. Yeah.
Would you
I've heard tale of a bard.
So that would follow.
So Ranger's out.
Yeah, Ranger's out.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, Ranger, to me, like, Ranger would be like the hero hunter class. Like, it's. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing them have that actual hunter class or hunter class, the actual hero class model of your class morphs into something else. Yeah. You know, like I really kind of like that idea, and I wouldn't mind seeing that at some point. But or even the ability to kind of cross your class with another. So let's say like there's some sort of thing where I decide as a hunter I'm going to go train with the mages of Dalaran, and then I you know, figure out how to like throw fireballs or something like that. You know, I can shoot arrows and throw fireballs. I can, you know, blink. I can do all kinds of cool stuff. Like that would be kind of fun if you could add a couple of spells from another class to your
hybrid
class.
Hybrid classes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if some of that was coming in some form. I think I'm with you. I hold with the idea that we're probably the Myst model from here on out. One class, one race.
Yeah, one class, one race, and then five levels, and
yeah. And who knows what? Like, we make predictions on the show all the time, but what race and what class? Pfft, I have no freaking idea.
I would love if they would do this dual idea. Because, man, imagine, like, tanking on a hunter and, you know, all the things you could, you know, like a battle mage, you know, a mage with warrior stuff. Like, just be so cool. Like, a mage wielding a two-handed axe. Like, that just could be awesome.
Big flaming sword or something. Yeah. Speaking of big flaming swords, you guys aware of how many books there are in the fantasy genre alone where lots of dudes wield big flaming swords on audible.com? Way too many for me to list. So many good books. So much great stuff. I'm currently reading a Brandon Sanderson book that I'm loving that I got on Audible. And I recommend you do just that or get any of these fantastic books. That's the thing. The stuff that we like, the things we're all into, they've got so much of it. They don't know where to store it all. Well, I guess what? They want to store some of it on your phone and your iPod or whatever you're listening to music or spoken word on. And it's the ultimate in spoken word. Amazing books right there in your hand. Go jogging. Listen to a book. Commute to work. Listen to a book. Get it in when you can during your busy, crazy life. And get the best possible selection ever, because that's audible.com. Here's what you're going to do, though, to save some money. Love doing this for you. Go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow. And get a free audiobook of your choice, absolutely for free. Flaming Sword or not. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow. Yeah, why not? The thing is, you know that Blizzard will do, if they do a thing like that, they would do it the way Blizzard does things, which is they're not going to let you just willy-nilly go, I'm going to take a little from column A and put it with column B and see what happens. As much fun as that may sound, they'll playtest the hell out of that, and they'll probably boil it down to, all right, well, if you're a hunter, you have your choice of these two things from a mage, these two things from a warlock, or whatever. Or they may even get down to where it's only, there's only certain class compatibility. So they may only say, sorry, but mages and warriors, that's our combo, nothing else.
Well, there's going to be some limitations just based on the fact that they have to balance it all. And if they just open the whole damn thing up, so it's like, oh, I'm a warlock and I want to mix with a hunter. Like, well, it doesn't make a lot of sense because you both already have pets. And, you know, there'd be some stuff there where it would be, like, these two don't really make sense together, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, let's say I wanted to mix, you know, a monk with a rogue or something. And like, well, they both kind of melee fight with, you know. It's,
but they're kind of both, and they're and not just from a mechanics, but you'd have to also think of the lore and think of, all right, would a monk and a rogue, you know, they're like the opposite ends of the happy spectrum.
Yeah. Like a priest and a warlock wouldn't mix together.
The right? happy spectrum.
The happy spectrum.
That's a good point, though. They don't like everyone's all the complaints in the past about paladins becoming available to, you know, to the horde side, and the freaking, you know, and them getting to have their way with who'd they get? I forget now. There was a trade there. They got to be, who'd they get to be? Crap. We got paladins.
The races, right?
No.
They got to be horde.
They got to be, yeah, paladins went horde, Thorin. And then they got to have, oh, Thorin. They got shaman. That's what it was.
Well, yeah, they got shaman. We got paladin. Yeah, and but now you can be a Thorin paladin. And,
yeah, yeah. You know. But back in the day, you couldn't. Like, that was a weird, yeah. That was a cool separation that was like, shaman are very, you know.
Yeah, horde get shaman, alliance get paladin. Yeah.
Oh, my memory died there for a minute. But yeah, like, this kind of stuff's going to cause some of that. Like, you're going to have people who cry foul from a lore perspective and go, well, wait a minute. Why would a hunter, or you know, like Brian said, mm-hmm. why would a rogue and a monk ever hang out?
Right. What do you get when you cross a monk and a rogue?
I wouldn't even know what to call that. And it is kind
he's
of
he's invisible and he's drunk. I don't know.
I do like the idea though, but there is something to be said for taking, you know, like it's like any, like imagine any fundamentalist group who take some of the core kind of innocent concepts of whatever base religion they're coming from, and then they twist it into something dark or worse or, you know, whatever. It's like right. the Westboro Baptist Church people. It's like those guys. So why couldn't you have like, you know,
like you could have a rogue and a warrior, for example, or a rogue.
Yeah, like a really tough rogue, you know, like
right.
just
the one super, that doesn't fall over.
But why couldn't
yeah,
you have
a rogue that's wearing plate armor? Like that would be crazy.
But why actually. Couldn't you have a monk who's peace loving and zen like in all other ways, but when push comes to shove, turning invisible and stabby in the back is the way to deal with things.
Yeah, I think it just is too much of a dichotomy of character.
I'd like to admit maybe each one gets like two or three choices. Of something
exactly.
that they can
right.
put in there, you know? So like, you know, a hunter could mix with like a mage or a warrior, you know, or something like that.
Right. And you're suggesting eHarmony for WoW. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Take a little exactly. test and,
but any of those things. So like a pure rogue maybe has better invisibility, but once you start adding something like having a hunter rogue, sure, you've got a pet, but that kind of opens your visibility up a little bit right. kind of thing.
It would be cool to have people be able to choose. I want to stay pure mage, though. Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
And then they become a slightly more powerful version of the mage. And so then, you know, I think there's got to be there's going to be a lot of discussion if this type of thing ever happens. And there's going to be so many more balance issues that it's a mm-hmm. it's a big undertaking. It's not something that they would take lightly. There would be going into this.
Yeah, they're not.
And Tiberius in the chat room points out, you know, talent trees would be a nightmare if you've got these hybrid classes.
But yeah. You wouldn't even really have to add that much. It'd be like this fourth tree with just like set, like two options each for like a couple of tiers.
Oh, right, yeah. right. With the new way that they do the talent system.
Yeah, the old talent trees would have been a huge nightmare. Now it's just two slots you just choose.
Yeah, you just throw a couple more things in. Just
at least for an expansion, right? Like, yeah. Until they decide to redo it again or whatever they do.
Although the fact of the matter is, no matter what it is, someone's going to theorycraft the hell out of it and say, like, warrior mages are the best.
Right.
This specific class is the best. And,
looking forward to that. A little bit of final business here. We can just rip through these. Siege of Orgrimmar raid schedule reminders. The SOO Raid Finder Wing 3 opens this week. And Final Wing of Flex opens next. So starting next week, if you are in Flex and you progress to that point, you'll get the Final Wing and you're set to take on Garrosh Hellscream in a very flexible way. So enjoy that.
mm-hmm.
Also, more realms are being connected. Next up, Black Dragonflight and Skullcrusher coming together at last. Join hands.
Finally.
Wrap themselves around the world.
Those
and sing.
Two have been eyeing each other forever.
Yep, they were made for each other.
I always knew those two would get together, yeah.
At some point. So hey, if you are on Black Dragonflight or on Skullcrusher, congratulations. And many, many future whatever for you. Okay, moving on to this. It's World of Tweets.
Tweets!
Tweets!
somebody asked Greg on Twitter, Greg Street, that is, said, any thoughts on making Flex loot tradable in guild groups? Got a few items I wish I had gone or had gone elsewhere. Thanks. By the way, people putting thanks at the end of their questions to Greg Street. What the hell is that?
That's funny. That means you've got those extra characters. I didn't use 140.
I don't know what to do with this. It's too nice of a question.
Yeah, it's way too nice for what they usually do. His answer to that was long term, it's probably a requirement, but we currently don't have a way to drop more loot for larger groups. So that's an interesting point, but didn't really exactly answer the question. I think what he's saying is Dills, last night I got the crossbow. Sure. If that was my second drop for that, which is possible, I could have gotten it twice, I would sure like to have given it to you.
Sure.
I don't want to just go.
You can't.
I can't. And that sucks. So basically, I think I kind of understand why it's not there now. Maybe it will be in some future implementation. But Otherwise, you could just go and farm for people, right? Well, I guess you're doing that anyway, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is the way that it used to work, you know, if somebody already had this piece, you know, they'd just pass on it. The other guy would get it.
Yeah.
But the way they're doing it now, there's no way to pass on any piece of gear that you get. It's just, boom, here it is. And basically, you have to disenchant the stuff. So,
yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it's strange the way things are right now a little bit, but it's just not, we're not used to it. That's
I shouldn't
really
say it
down.
Sucks because your percentage of getting it is better than it used to be. So you getting that crossbow is far more likely the next week than it ever was the next week in our old
And if
way.
I don't get it, I can, you know, re-roll again if I have the necessary coins to do so.
Right,
so,
right.
They've definitely upped the chances of me getting that thing, whether you get it twice or not. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's quite a high priority, but I do understand what he's talking about. You could gear your guild faster if you could do this. But, you know, like Greg's answer pretty much sounds to me like, well, long term, yeah, but right now, nah.
Not so much. We got other things going on. Got to get that dance studio
done.
It's
not the top priority at the moment.
Yeah, we got dance studios. We got
We got so many dance studios to work on.
Air-to-air combat. what was this? I was trying to think the other day of all the things that didn't make the cut that they've never really mentioned again. Like, not necessarily ones where they came out and said it got close.
Oh, no, we got our pony.
Yeah, we got our pony. What else? That's probably it. Oh, the moose mount never happened.
Oh, I finally saw somebody in that engineering mount. Oh, my God.
What is it? Oh, the big walking robot dude?
Oh, my God. I want it so bad.
The transformer.
I've been trying to, like, farm ghost iron every time I get a chance, but, God, it's so much. It is so much that I need. It's
Brian,
crazy.
Have you seen this thing?
I've not seen it. Is it like a shredder that you can sit on top of, or what is it?
It's a sky golem. You get inside it. It flies.
It transforms into a flying mode and then running mode.
It's a giant.
Wow. Oh, it does kind of look like a shredder.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
oh, that's cool. I'm looking at it right now, and it turns into a little helicopter.
Yeah, when you watch it change, you're just you'll fart blood. I did.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, maybe you didn't fart blood.
So awesome. And I want it so bad.
Farting blood's a little extreme.
And that's going to be engineer only, or is that going to be like a $25?
I think you can buy it. I think engineers can make one and sell it.
But you can't go on the store and pay.
It wouldn't be going to the Blizzard store and paying for it.
No,
gotcha.
No.
Which is probably good. The value of that is higher if you... And look, listen, I just want to put this out there. I am not... If you are an Earthen Ring Horde side, and you're making one of these anyway, and you were just going to chuck it, just come talk to me. We can make a deal. All right. That's all I'm saying. Another question came to him and said, can you give us an idea of flex participation relative to normal? I'm excited to see it, see if it's as highly popular as it seems. Again, that question didn't have any trollisms in it. What's going on?
Yeah, he should have said, like, jerk.
A-hole at the end.
You finally get off your butt and give us some idea of flex participation.
Right, I don't know what's happening, but it's a kinder, gentler
Twitter
questions. Anyway, it says, Greg says, it's as or more popular than normal and growing. It makes sense that flex could grow and be far more popular than normal. So I think their expectation is, A, that it already is and will probably long-term be more popular than a normal raid. And here, the only downside of that, obviously, as well, the gear is not as good. And then also you have to ask, well, does it ever get so much more popular that Blizzard just says, well, we're throwing in the towel on normal because no one cares anymore. And now this is just the normal tier of rating, and heroic is a different thing. But, you know,
I'd see, to me, though, it's not, because I think the people who have their core normal group and they want to keep doing that, that's fine. A lot of those people, too, are also people who are just doing normal before they do heroic, you know, and which was kind of the progression before. And I don't think it's taking away from that. I think what it's doing is just adding people to the pool, people who couldn't raid before. So I don't think anything's taking away from anything else. Maybe LFR is suffering a little bit, but who cares?
Did somebody just do this, by the way? Did someone do that?
That's what I heard. I heard a bottle like.
Because I just took my cap off and did it because I had to show you what I meant. But I just swear, outside of while Dills was talking. I heard that.
I heard it as well. I don't know.
Well, I did fart while I was talking.
Oh, okay.
That could have been it. Luckily, I didn't fart blood, though.
Yeah,
I was blowing my nose, and I know that's not the sound that makes.
No. Well, depends. Yeah. Anyway. Well, there you go. All right, world of tweets, everybody.
Did you hear that again?
I heard it again.
That was me doing it that time.
Oh, my gosh.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
It's the Town Crier, everybody, where you get to have your emails and your phone calls addressed. Today brought to you by Typefrag.com, the best in Ventrilo service. If you want a good vent server, go for it. You want a good mumble server, go for it. We're loving that mumble server for our Flex team. It's, mm-hmm. it's awesome, except perfect. Last night we realized, I think it's a 25-man, and we had 25 people at one point, and right. they had to kick the music bot out. So
that's right.
No more Nickelback and...
Oh, man.
Out damned bot.
What?
That was bad.
All right, I just put Nickelback on my own computer.
And did you really?
That's good.
You're
it was,
you're all back fine. Into Nickelback then.
It was fine.
Okay, great.
Who's not into Nickelback? Are you not?
Me. I am so not into Nickelback. Yeah, me and Brian, right. we abstain.
But I will highly recommend Scott Bradley's Motown Nickelback cover album.
Whoa, oh. wait. That's it's the guy. All, that's the yeah, Nickelback
that's
guy.
That's the guy who did... No. Scott Bradley's not the Nickelback guy. Oh. Scott Bradley's the guy who did all the music for Bioshock.
Oh,
all the old-timey style music.
Oh, no, that I could get into there.
And he did an entire album of Motown covers of Nickelback.
He did a Kickstarter for this.
Did he?
That's amazing. Yeah.
I was trying to find... Well worth it. I have a great Nickelback sucks. Is it sucks? I think so. Sucks. Hold on.
Yeah, yes. Nickelback yeah,
this.
Sucks.
Listen to this. This is Nickelback. Okay, I do this once in a while. About every 8 months, I do this on some show or another. And I just want to play these. It's two of their most famous songs played together. Oh, yes. All right, so here. Let me get this going. Now, you guys are going to hear one ear of this, sadly. But people at home will hear how those two songs are identical and they match them over
We're
each
just
other.
Hearing one side.
You're only hearing one ear, yeah. That sucks. Sucks for you guys. Actually, maybe
it's like that
you.
Other band.
No, it's probably
like,
better.
It's like, what's the band that did the song?
Gin Blossoms.
About his dad? No. The Daddy Gave Me a Name. Everclear.
Name Me Sue.
Right?
Oh.
Yeah. Every song they had sounded the same. Like there's literally one record.
Father
where they,
of mine.
Yeah, they do sound the
they
same.
They had one whole record where every single song was the same. And my friend John actually bought that record. And one day he was like, dude, we got to listen to this on the way to golf. And he put it on. And I was like, did you put it on repeat? What the hell is going on? He's like, nah, man, this is the next song.
Yeah, and it's great.
We used to have a joke in the 90s whenever Gin Blossoms would come on the radio. I would say, oh, which Gin Blossom song is this again? Oh, that's right. All of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the whole album. Got it. Perfect.
Although I do like that one Gin Blossom song. I'm not going to lie.
Oh,
I like the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
They're all right.
Whatever. Hey, Jealousy.
I miss the 90s. That's all I'm saying. I do. Music
was
cool.
Well, the dream of the 90s is alive, Scott.
Is it?
Got to go to Portland, though.
I like the 80s. I like 90s. The aughts are stupid. All right, moving on. So call us, everybody, and leave us a voicemail. We could play it on the show, 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3WOW. Or you can email us at theinstance@gmail.com. We got a call today about why can't hunters get that Hydra?
Hey, Scott Dillon, Terpster. This is Grumpy, a Beastmastery hunter on the Warmest Accord. And I was just wondering if you guys thought maybe in the near future that maybe Blizzard will finally make Hydras tameable. I know there was that one fluke where they made one of the ghost Hydras tameable as Crocolis, but I was just wondering if you think maybe in the future we'll see Hydras be tameable again. Thanks for your time.
All right. That guy puts the words Hydra and be tameable in together so closely that it sounds like one word.
Hydra be tameable.
Hydra tameable.
Yeah, you know,
what do you think,
this was a bug for a small period of time where you could go to that little lake and there would be basically this quest would have these three different animals come at you and you could actually tame them,
like Colifang or something, right?
All isn't that considered? Yeah, it wasn't Cata, was it? Maybe.
No,
I want to say Wrath.
But anyway, so yeah, you like they would all count as Crocolis, and you could get an ooze, you could get a Hydra, and it was pretty awesome. But and they were like see through and stuff. They're really cool.
Yeah.
But that's gone. And
well, you know why Hydras are too? They're too effing big. They're just big. That's why nobody's doing big T Rexes anymore, because they got in everybody's way and made the screen move and it was annoying.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. They'd those were ridiculous.
Park them on top of a mailbox or something.
I think we definitely will see more hunter pets with like every single major content patch. I think it's always going to happen, because like right now you can get all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, you get a porcupine and stuff now. So
yeah,
that'll always be one of those things that Blizzard really likes to do, is just give us more stuff to tame. And I think we will get a Hydra again at some point. Who knows? I mean, it seems like it's a beast to me.
Yeah,
when I look at it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of remembering things,
I want
about
a chicken, by the way.
Yeah,
I
chicken
want a
would be great. Chickens would be great.
I can't get a chicken.
I want to. Well, I use Henry a lot, but if you gave me a big chicken, like a big cock,
exactly.
Yeah,
a massive chicken,
a big giant rooster.
Then we could begin every raid with Scott. Turn your cock off. Turn your cock off in rage.
Scott, your cock is taunting the boss.
Your cock is on growl. Cock is on growl. Turn growl off your cock. I need to, so I wanted to do this on the show and I totally forgot to grab it. So give me 2 seconds. I'm going to grab it. I'm still here, but I don't have headphones on. So,
oh my God, what happened to Scott?
Got something special. Oh, Scott is gone. It's anarchy. He's going to show that new trivia deal.
Yes,
isn't he?
Check this out. Trivial Pursuit World of Warcraft Edition, age 12 and up. And I just got this. I'm literally opening the package now. That's how busy I've been. I haven't even been able to open it. I'm going to just read a couple cards, and you guys are going to see how you answer them. All right.
Oh,
okay.
So here we go. This will be fun.
It's already hard. So,
what race spends most of its time on the floor?
Now, good friend of the program, a fellow raid member, and a fellow podcaster, Ro, who's in the chat right now, I believe, said last night in raid that he thought it was way more difficult than people might expect, or it was.
It's definitely going to be hard because Trivial Pursuit is just always hard.
Yeah, and that's its
unless
job.
You get like the kids version.
Right, mm-hmm. And we're not doing that. So here are the cards. Oh, man, these are all wrapped. Hold on.
Can I pick my category at least?
Yeah, the big box is wrapped up, and then the individual boxes are wrapped, and then each individual card actually is plastic wrapped as well.
Right.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. So, okay, your category, I guess they're the color-coded same way they do it with the regular game, right?
Sure.
So what are those categories?
The geography, entertainment.
Yeah, geography, sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure. All right, well, I'll just give you a question that is Horde related, okay?
Okay.
Horde here time. You go. Dills, this isn't for you.
All right.
Where do you need to fish to catch Old Crafty?
Orgrimmar.
Dung, ding, 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 ding. Correct.
Whee! I got one.
Not so hard so far.
So this is like that thing on Timeless Isle. You can go up and get, 100 coins from every day, right? Mm-hmm. The little trivia question deal?
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty mm-hmm. cool, actually.
Here you go. For a given faction, Brian, what is the maximum number of players that can join an Alterac Valley Battleground?
Oh, jeez, Louise. Oh, Battleground questions. That's my forte.
I know this one. This
is the best. I'm going to say... 47.
Close. You're 7 40. Off. 40.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nicely done, though. You're
going to turn the chat room off, by the way, because they're all answering immediately.
Oh, are they?
Oh,
okay.
They are.
don't look at those guys.
I get the question a few seconds before they do because of Skype delay.
Dills, here's a tough one for you.
Uh-oh.
Who was the first Night Elf Druid?
What?
Who was the first Night Elf Druid? I knew this one, but only because I just
Benedict
read
a Cumberbatch.
It was Manibus, right?
Yes, no, it's not Manibus. Although Manny, if you're listening, we're thinking about you, buddy. I just read a book, so it would be cheating, and I knew this already. But it's a Malfurion Stormrage.
Oh, okay,
it's Illidan's brother. Sense. All right, sure. Brian, I'm going to give you the last one. You ready?
All right.
Trying to give one that's not too crazy hard here.
Thanks.
What are two of the three priest class specializations?
Oh, there's gourmet chef and a blackjack dealer.
Gurt puller.
Discipline.
Discipline is correct.
Shadow.
Got it.
Holy.
Holy.
There you go.
Nice job, everyone.
Oh, that priest.
Those priests.
Molester. Oh, that's terrible. Too soon. So yeah, there you go. It's fun. I haven't done much else, but it's, it looks like Trivial Pursuit. I'm totally stoked to play this. I am sure games of this will be being played at the Guild Hall. There's no question on my mind.
There's going to be so much of this going on in the Guild Hall.
Yeah.
I think actually Ro was suggesting that he wants to get 5 of us together and play a game.
I'm in.
Yeah, totally
I'm
in. Totally in. Yeah.
I will stand by the sidelines and say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I totally knew that. I just didn't know it yet.
We'll get there.
Over here playing Hearthstone.
We'll get T doing it drunk. That'll be the best thing.
There we go.
He'll know everything, though, drunk or not. He'll just know all the answers.
Joshua S. Hill wrote in, says, G'day, Scott, Dills, and Terpster. Aren't they supposed to hate saying that if they live in Australia? I think they're supposed to hate the g'day thing.
No. They just hate the, that's not a knife.
Dish
yeah, they don't like that one.
Okay.
Shrimp
or
on the Barbie is
Australian for beer, which is.
Right.
Come on. Come on.
All right, fair enough. I'm currently in LFR, about to take on Corcoran, Dark Shaman's boss in the Siege of Orgrimmar. And I was wondering whether you guys could answer what might seem like a pretty basic question. I think this is a good one to address. How do you know where your target is in the scrum of colors and tunes? What zoom do you have to be to have the right fight? Do you use GTFO or something similar? What advice can you give to raiding noobs to make the process just a little bit easier? Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Josh.
Well,
I don't use anything. I just tab a lot. I tabbed hard a lot.
If I'm on the wrong target, I generally tab, but just want to make sure that your unit frames are in a place where you can quickly access them visually. So you want to be able to like just glance down and see it. I try to keep them close to my character. Mm-hmm. So basically my unit frame for me is on the left, just below my feet, and my unit frame for my target is on the right, just below my feet. So if I'm looking at something and it doesn't have the skull on it, and I know it's supposed to be on skull, then I switch. But yeah, you really have to, it's a skill, and it's not something that you can just get some add-on that's going to make it perfect every time. You got to get used to tabbing through targets when you're not on the right thing. Most of the time, if there's a ton of targets, though, you're not killing one of them. There's very rare times where it's like, oh, there's all these things grouped up and you need to kill just this one.
Yeah.
There was times like that. So if you remember the Lich King fight, per se, there was the big dudes who would get the curse thing on them or whatever, that ticking dot that would then transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they would enrage, and then you'd have to pick the enraged one out of the group. And as a hunter, you had to trank shot.
Lich King fight, yeah. The big undead troll, the scroll guys horrors, or whatever. Yeah.
So you had to actually trank off the one that got enraged. And it wasn't always
that was a pain in the ass.
All of them. So you'd have to figure out which one was enraged and trank shot it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that type of stuff was, that's the challenge of it. But that's part of what makes one person good at it and one person not as good.
Yeah.
And if it was all just run up and... And if it was all just run up and hit the boss, it wouldn't be fun. No. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree with that. But still one of my favorite fights of all time. I thought that Lich King fight just endures. It's really fantastic. Yeah. But part of it was, wow, I've got to be Johnny on the hunter spot here. This is one moment where everyone is counting on me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just pew-pew from a distance. I actually have to really focus in, and I could screw the whole raid right now. And I miss that happening more, where an individual is really called out to do something important.
So the beauty of that fight was once I got the hover over trank shot macro.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to target it. I could just hover over it and go.
Oh yeah.
But, I recommend definitely for Joshua Hill here, make sure you're using something like Tidy Plates, an add-on that gives much cleaner, better looking nameplates to your enemies. And you can actually tweak them the way you like them. So they're just easier to pick out of the crowd. So I recommend doing that.
Tiny
you can also
is,
have it so they actually separate themselves from each other. They don't actually overlap.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best thing.
That would help.
And you can click on the plate. Yeah. So the plates will all, they won't jumble on top of each other. And you can click on the one you want to select the dude. It's great.
That'd be good in that council fight that we're doing now. So
yes.
You can not have to, you know, if Ro accidentally skull marks somebody wrong, you're not hitting the wrong dude, which can happen. You know.
Oh yeah, he marked me with the skull a few times last night.
I noticed that. I was like, "All right, you guys stay on the skull." I'm like, "That looks like Brian, though." That doesn't.
And people
look like
in chat are bringing up the dog fight and Nax. Oh man, I missed that fight.
That was great.
Having
wasn't
to
it?
Kite the zombies around the thing. There was like a grate in the room, and then the zombies would pop up, and you had to keep on shooting them and concussive shot, and then put a trap down and run in a big circle. Love that.
That was a great fight. Nothing wrong with
fantastic
that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of that. I got another email here from Joel in Cincinnati who says, "Dear Scott, Terpster, and Dills, I heard Scott say in a recent episode, speaking to Brian Nibbett, I believe, that you wish you could run both WoW and Hearthstone at the same time. Killing time, LFR queues, blah, blah, blah. Dills seemed to agree. I have achieved your wishes." We've heard from a lot of people that are doing this now. But he says, "I've always run WoW with the windowed full screen option to make alt tabbing out of WoW much faster.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, it helps us here too. Run WoW within this mode and Hearthstone in windowed mode. They both function perfectly fine at the same time. I know aesthetically windowed mode kind of sucks, but what do you do? Actually, in WoW, it's not bad because it still hides everything.
It can be if you're using the scrolly scroll to be your attacker, because if your cursor is even if your WoW window has focus, if your cursor is somewhere else, on a Mac anyway, and you do that scrolly scroll thing to attack, it's going to be scrolling your back window, your Safari or your Twitter or whatever,
right.
And it's not going to be attacking. And I'm sitting there going, why am I not attacking? Why am I not killing this thing? And
Windows, the same thing, same problem.
Yeah.
Or can be.
Yeah.
So you got to watch it there. But what else he says here? Oh, it says not the most indulgent or elegant solution, but it works great for killing time in queues. And it should be mentioned, if you've got a computer capable of running these two instances without a major performance hit, then why not just go for it?
I actually thought it was a Blizzard requirement that you couldn't have be running two of their things that you're logged into simultaneously.
See, that was the part
it was the tutor again we just heard.
Yeah, and I haven't done this, so I can't confirm or deny what this guy's done, but obviously people are saying, no, you can do it. I thought that was the limitation, not performance. I thought it was a login problem. Like but I guess maybe this is better. Well, either way, it's the same IP, so it probably doesn't matter to them. I just thought on there, and they would go, hey, wait, this guy's logging in from two different game clients on the same machine at the same time, and that was somehow bad, but maybe nobody cares over there for that.
Maybe,
and now,
maybe not.
And now
it's not like Steam where they'll freak out.
Yeah, and with the launcher now, who cares? It's all fine now. Thanks for your emails. Guys, keep those coming. We love to get them here on the show. Love to read them. Love to have them. And give us more. We love it.
The drop of the week.
Oh, drop of the week this week is don't get Skype. New version sucks. Oh, no. That's not it. I'm sorry. It's this. Justin Bieber plays World of Warcraft.
Now I'm done. I'm done playing World of Warcraft.
You're out.
World of Warcraft used to be cool.
It was, right? And now Biebs is playing it. I'm a believer in Bieber playing World of Warcraft. So here's how we know. There's this video somebody's taking on a cell phone in his house. He's got producers around. They're talking about the next day's concert or some song thing or something. He looks bored and stoned, like you expect Justin Bieber to look. And he's on a chair with wheels on it, and he suddenly hurls himself through the kitchen and into his fridge, and he yells the following. Here you go, captured live on tape.
Sunday midnight, we gotta release the next song. Leroy Jenkins!
Boom, that's him hitting the fridge. Now, he at least knows enough. Doesn't mean he plays.
I don't think this means I don't think he plays well.
You think he's just a
Jenkins
dick.
Leroy Jenkins is now like its own meme outside of the World of Warcraft thing. Okay.
You think it's really
even know where this came from?
Has it stretched that far that the context can be that far removed and people will still use it? Okay. All right.
Yes.
I can believe
absolutely.
That.
I've heard people reference Leroy Jenkins who have no idea that it ever came from WoW.
Now, does the sound of his voice make you want to punch him too, or is it just me?
It kind of does, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, it makes me wonder if he went on some chat board and said, I'd like to think that, if I ever met Leroy Jenkins, he would be a believer.
Probably.
Look up Anne Frank.
Yeah, look up Anne Frank. There's a whole, we talked about this on the morning spring, stream. Speaking of which, it's nice to bring up a little Bieber story on the instance, Brian, because that's kind of our forte on the stupid
morning
show.
Right, it's our celebrity poop.
Yeah, a little celebrity poop for the day, so I hope you enjoyed it. That's right. Justin Bieber plays World of Warcraft. Look it up on YouTube. You can't miss it.
And there's no bigger celebrity poop than Justin Bieber.
Oh, boy.
No.
That's the
truth. Mila Kunis actually did play World of Warcraft, and she was on, I don't remember who it was, Conan or somebody.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious that it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't just knowing who Leroy Jenkins is.
Like, you can tell. You can tell. Yeah. It's like how you can tell when Jay Moore gets
Vin
up.
Diesel.
Vin Diesel. You can tell. But when you see Jay Moore get up and try to talk about WoW on stage at BlizzCon, you kind of there's something in your head going, that's not exactly
But I don't
right.
think he even pretends like he actually does. He knows the deal.
Yeah, not really. He's pretty self-deprecating about it.
Yeah, I think he understands what his purpose is there. And
He's back, by the way. This year. I think he's back this year.
We want Patton.
I don't think Jay Moore is as bad as everybody says he is on.
Nah, he's fine. He's funny. His podcast is really good.
Yeah. I listen to more stories. It's all
right. I like the snark.
Yeah.
It's good snark.
It's good stuff.
I really want Patton Oswalt. I just think he's the actual nerd. I just think he'd be hilarious.
Well, he was on, 2008 or 9? He did stand up there.
Yeah.
Whichever year that was. And hasn't come back since. But yeah, he'd be a great return. We still don't know the band. We don't know who's playing this year. That hasn't been announced. I'm surprised.
Usually we hear by now.
Yeah,
God, it's a month away.
So last year was Foo Fighters. Year before that, Tenacious D. Year before that, I don't remember. They weren't there that year. Were they? No, they were. Ozzy was, but yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Ozzy, and then before that, I don't know who was before that. That may have been before music. I don't know. That may have been the elite.
I don't think music existed, but let's get Nickel back this year.
Yeah, Nickel. Hey, let's get him back. Brilliant idea. All right. We got a quick contest to talk about. This is something that is going to be happening throughout the remainder of this day. It was intended as a Twitter one, but I would be remiss if I didn't make sure the chat room and people listening early to the show didn't hear about it. We have 10 new Hearthstone beta keys to give out before tonight. What? Yeah, we just got them. We got them late last night. From Hearthstone or from the folks at Blizzard, and they are like, here you go, make it easy for people to enter. So here's how easy it is on making it. Just go follow us on Twitter. It's at Instance Show. Can't talk. You'll find the tweet that has the link. Click it. It's just a little forum or a little Google form thing. Fill it out and you'll be picked at random tonight. So watch for that. Giving away 10 of these keys, man. And a lot of people are getting them. Like, they're showing up on people's inboxes left and right. These new phases of beta keys have been pretty generous. So, one way or the t'other, we're going to try to get more people in. So, there you go. Hearthstone beta keys going out. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is it. Sorry for all the technical difficulties, everyone. It kind of was weird. People at home don't notice. It's all fine. No editing or anything.
Yeah. Skype!
Brian Ibbett, what's going on in your world for people to know more about what you're doing and what you got going on?
This Tuesday I'm going to be playing the 999th episode of Coverville, or recording, I should say, not playing it.
Jeez.
And then we hit the big 1,000, and then all hell breaks loose.
That's great,
parties,
dude.
And events, and I wish there were that sort of thing.
None of those things.
So that's what's going on next week. So check out coverville.com, check out frogpants.com. There's a link to Coverville there as well, and live streams there on Frogpants where you can hear where you can hear the show. 999th episode, I think, is going to be covers of songs that almost made it to number one. So a whole bunch of covers of songs that were number two, lasted on the Billboard charts on the number two spot for a long time.
Can you tell me how high in the charts George Harrison's Cloud Nine release Got My Mind Set on You made it? Did it get very far in the charts at the time?
I think it did, actually. Mm. I could tell you that, actually.
Great. I'd love to know where it ended up, and B, if it did almost make it to number one, if that will be featured on your program. On your 1,000th cover.
No, it would not.
Bill.
If it made it to number one, then it would not make it on that show.
But what if it made it to number two? Would it make it on that show?
It would.
Well, it's a cover.
It's also terrible, right? So that's why I'm asking.
It's also terrible. But the original version is this cool, funky horn, you know, lots of trumpets and horns. A really cool original version.
All right. That song sucks.
I think what you should do, Brian, is make a huge deal about 999 and then just don't mention anything on 1,000. Just do a regular standard show.
Regular ass show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Do a Coverville of
not
like,
mention it at all.
I don't know. Like old, I can't even think of anybody. Just like old. I've been listening to a lot of America because of our conversation the other day. Just do old America covers and act like it's no big deal. Just sub 1,000.
Don't even do, don't like just do a regular, like, oh, this is the Jim Morrison story
I've been
again or whatever.
Through the desert on a horse with no name. You can totally do that.
So I Got My Mind Set on You made it to the number one spot on both the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, the U.S. Billboard Hot Adult Contemporary Tracks, and the Australian Kent Music Report.
Wait, where did it make it on the Hot Pile of Shit Trash report?
Number one as well.
Japan, where it only went as high as 64.
Okay. Well, they knew better. Good job, Japan.
Japanese, they're smart.
Good deal. Well, check it out. Coverville.com. And, of course, 4 days a week with me right here on the Frog Pants Network for the morning stream, TMS, Monday through Thursday, and also Film Sec on the weekends. So watch for that. Jeez, Brian, you're all over the damn place. What's going on?
I know.
That's good. Also, Dills, of course, always has a million things going on. Dills, what's up? What's going on?
I think the number one thing that I want to promote is The Angry Chicken, which is having its first episode on Monday. And I believe, according to Garrett here, we're going to give out a Hearthstone beta key on that very show.
Nice.
Thanks to Jocelyn.
Wow. Nice.
So that's another way to potentially get yourself a Hearthstone key. If you guys don't know, Jocelyn's from the Gamers Inn.
And it's nice Garrett, to see you guys classing the join up because she's great.
Yeah, no, exactly. We needed that female perspective.
Bring her in on that wiener fest of an event. She's great though. She'll be great.
So that should be a lot of fun. And if you're trying to get a Hearthstone beta key and you still didn't get one by tonight from this show, that's another chance. So
for sure.
Check that out. Also, of course, the Torture Cast, where we are in the off season now because the Giants suck this year. But we talk about the Giants and And the A's lost too, which is kind of a bummer because as Giants fans, even though they don't like us, we root for the A's whenever we get eliminated.
Is that how that works? I didn't know.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the Raiders and the Niners. Like Raiders fans hate the Niners.
Yeah.
I would say that the Niners fans and Giants fans generally just don't care until we're out. And then we're like, oh, okay, we'll root for you guys.
You got to root for somebody. Sure.
Yeah. But I guess now I'm rooting for everybody but the Dodgers at this point. So
the entire American and National League, please.
Anybody who is not from Los Angeles and called the Dodgers, I'm rooting for. Also, Mediocre Golf World Championships are going to be at the end of this month.
Yeah.
And if you are a member of the MGA and you haven't signed up yet, it's too late. You missed your window, so screw you. Mm. But you will get to see all of our exploits because we are filming the whole damn thing again and putting it out on as a YouTube kind of mini-series. So if you want to check out what we did last year, there's actually a three-part mini-series called Wide World of Sport, ... and Golf. And so you can check that out on YouTube. It's basically all of the hijinks that we got up to last year, and it's pretty good. It's pretty funny.
Nice. Good times all around. Cool. Well, everybody check out all that stuff. Of course, follow these guys on Twitter. Coverville for Brian. Willie Dills for Dills over there. You can find me at Scott Johnson. Musical help this week by Matthew Oxley. Leave a review on iTunes. We love that stuff. Or whatever other directories exist. That's fine, too. Thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, for our show notes and upkeep on the site. And everything he's doing there is great. Our forum show notes and archives can be found there at theinstance.net. You can find the show on Twitter as well, at Instance Show. It's the best place to find out about contests, giveaways, and stuff like we're doing with Hearthstone. On Facebook, it's /TheInstance. You can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, for the visiting Brian, and for wherever the hell Terpster is. We'll see you next time.
Job's done.
Lost the outro.
Care gets off to a bumpy start. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. With her rise to leadership of the Kirin Tour, Lady Jaina Proudmoore was eager to bring her Jaina Care health plan to Dalaran. The plan launched this week, but demand was so high the scrying dish signup portals often locked up, displaying the strange symbols Error 37. Things got worse yesterday when the Dwarven Dark Ale Party, sworn enemies of universal government healthcare, showed up. They have been staging sit-ins demanding that Jaina repeal her prized achievement, or, as the dwarves put it, compromise. Lady Proudmoore invited all the dwarves into the Violet Hold a short time ago, and we have just received a statement from her. I quote, "I once believed in negotiation. I tried to compromise with the Horde to find common ground. But they took my concessions as weakness and made ever larger demands. Eventually, Hellscream obliterated my beloved Theramore. I know my people paid the highest price for my foolishness. Never again. You cannot compromise with ideologues who view you with scorn. I have given this Dark Ale party my answer. Jaina Care is the law of Dalaran. It will not be repealed." End quote. We'll bring you the dwarf statement. Oh, here it is. No, this is from the Azeroth Geological Survey. They report that a swarm of small magnitude earthquakes has just occurred directly underneath Dalaran. Details soon. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Mom's up!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohemulo. With BlizzCon right around the corner, I'd like to take a couple episodes to highlight some of the breweries near the Anaheim Convention Center in hopes that everyone will be willing to go check out what the locals have on tap. The nearest is simply called the Anaheim Brewery. At 2 miles from the convention center, I'd say it's a quick bus or cab ride over. This one is a little different than others you may have visited, as it's only a tasting room for the brewery, and therefore closes at 9 p.m. Why cover it? Because it has one of my favorite styles of beer there, and one that isn't typically found in the U.S., Schwarzbier, which literally means black beer. Unlike roasty darker beers many of you are probably used to, a Schwarzbier is designed to be similar to a light-colored Pilsner beer, just darker. The next one is also a tasting room attached to what is called the brewery, spelled B-R-U-E-R-Y. This particular brewery takes pride in bending the rules a bit on traditional styles, and one that I am particularly looking forward to tasting is the Saison Roux. The Saison, or season, in French Belgium is a pretty well-known style of beer on its own. Highly carbonated, hazy, and a little peppery from the Belgian yeast it's fermented with, it's looked at as a refreshing summer beer. But the brewery has added rye to it, which should give it more amber hue and some of the oils from the rye grain. Some folks even taste some other spicier notes specifically drawn from rye in beers. So this combination of rye and traditional Saison sounds excellent. But if you want to taste these beers, you'll have to be there and gone by 10 p.m. local time, because they do close a bit earlier too. Next week, I'll cover two of the more traditionally viewed brew pubs nearby. You know, where you can sit down for a bite or hang with friends a little later into the night. But for now, this will wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at FermentAzeroth or visit the site fermentingazeroth.podbean.com.
Epic diapers.
It's six, back with an unemployed segment. That's right, those boneheads in our government have shuttered all operations and sent non-essential federal employees home. And I happen to be one of them. That is, if you consider counting fish and invertebrates underwater non-essential. Well, okay, so maybe that particular job is. But alas, I've been out of work for almost 2 weeks now, and you'd think I'd be playing a little bit more WoW, producing more podcasts and segments, playing some golf, spending time with my wife. Nay, sadly, my wife has seized this golden unemployment opportunity to send me to the deepest, darkest corners of our house for various cleaning, organization, and repair projects. I must say, I've accomplished a lot and probably earned some temporary marriage credits, but I'm finally easing back into WoW. Specifically, I just leveled my third tune to 90 and promptly got my fat, hairy panda butt handed to me while trying to pick up chests in the Timeless Isle. Those elites hit hard on a tune geared at about a 420 item level. But real quick, I'd like to recommend two add-ons. Rare Coordinator and Tom-Tom are essential for getting to rare elites before they are burned to the ground by others. Rare Coordinator will flag you when a new rare is up, then Tom-Tom points you in that direction. It's helped me get to rares just in time to tap them for loot. You can follow me on Twitter at Epic Diapers and check out my blog at epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. This week, steam machines. Many of the mechs and other technologies in the Warcraft universe are based around the steampunk motif. So how do they work? Well, all that fire you see in the goblin machines is not purely aesthetic. That heat serves a function. Machinery often relies upon pressure-based systems. In order to get that pressure, you have to find a way to expand the gas. Fire is among the best ways to expand gas. You can take water, heat it up to a gas, and use that expanded element for added pressure. If you built the system right, that steam cools off right back into the same chamber that you used to warm the water up. However, you need a lot of water and a lot of heat. The Mythbusters once did an experiment with a steam-based cannon. While it worked, the ball didn't go that far. So you need both a lot of water for steam and a lot of fuel to feed that very hot fire, which also explains the perchance for goblin machinery to blow up. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail, and always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Greetings, and welcome to Slash Grants. I'm your host, EFinkG4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is 500 fish. The goal here is to fish up 500 fish. Now the trick here is you want to go to a body of water and catch 500 fish. You could press your achievement guide, open up that window, look for the 500 fish and click the track achievement so that way you can keep track. And once you collect 500 fish, you'll get the achievement 500 fish and 10 points. Well, I still got some time to fill, so how you doing? You doing good? You enjoying the Slash Grats? I appreciate everybody's feedback and emails and pokes. And, you know, we're on Facebook now, if that's your thing. And it is still Brewfest, so drink responsibly. Get your achievements there. It can be all done in the time allowed. WoWhead has a very nice guide. I'll put some links to that in some future posts.
And remember, you could always email feedback@slashgrats.com and send me your screenshots, or you could even send me a screenshot on Twitter and I'll share it with everybody. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
If you'd like now, you can subscribe to Slashgrats on Stitcher, iTunes, and RSS. Past segments and notes are at slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. Good luck, and I'll see you next week.
Welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Vixorcus, Draenei Paladin, and Lore Master of the Archives. The undead sociopath is still in Orgrimmar, so I will continue the tale of Grom Hellscream. One lieutenant of the Burning Legion who took part in the first invasion of Azeroth was the Pit Lord Manoroth. He survived the Legion's defeat and was sent by Kil'jaeden to Draenor to further subjugate the Orcish race, who, thanks to the Legion's influence over Gul'dan and the Shadow Council, had already become warlike and aggressive towards their neighbors, the Draenei. The chieftains of the 13 Orcish clans were promised supernatural power in combat if they would drink Manoroth's blood. The first to do so was Grom Hellscream of the Warsong clan, followed by all the other chieftains save one. Only the chieftain of the Frostwolf clan named Durotan abstained. The blood curse sent all orcs to whom it spread into an insatiable bloodlust and turned their eyes red and their skin green. Led by Hellscream, the orcs overthrew my people from Shatrath City. Hellscream was described as tattooed and fiery-eyed, with raven-black hair, his jaw colored black as pitch, and wielding a two-handed axe that howled when swung. Within months, the Orcish horde nearly drove the Draenei on Draenor to extinction, and would twice invade Azeroth through the Dark Portal before the Blood Curse would be broken by none other than Hellscream himself. I will conclude Grom Hellscream's story next week. The First and Second Wars will have to wait for another time. Until I return, may the Light embrace you.
Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter or listen to past episodes at azeroth-archives.tumblr.com.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
There.
What?
Well, I mean, you're not here, you're there.
But I am here.
Nope. Here is here. You are there.
Oh my god, Aludra, seriously, no more caramels for you.
But they're so good!
Well, whether you are here, there, or, well, anywhere, make sure to check out episode 33 of Battle Pets, Under the Moon Moon, where we talk about new things at the Dark Moon Fair and challenge each other to a new leg of the race to the finish.
And we talk about old things, too, such as finishing the World Safari for Kalimdor and Eastern Kingdoms, while finally taking on Aki the Chosen and winning all her money.
So, Aludra, what does all this have to do with Moon Moon?
Nothing! It's just super fun to say! Moon, 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 moon,
seriously, guys, moon, don't moon, give her caramels moon, anymore.
Moon, 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 moon.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade, and this week we're going to begin talking about a lot of the changes that happened to Warlocks in patch 5.4. So this week I want to begin with a level 30 talent that was changed so that it's now baseline for all three Warlock specializations. And of course I'm talking about our old tried and true spell, the Howl of Terror.
The Howl of Terror.
The Howl of Terror is an instant cast spell on a 40-second cooldown that will cause 5 enemies in 10 yards to flee in fear for 20 seconds. And if the Warlock gets hit by a damaging attack, then the cooldown gets reduced by 1 second. Now, please keep in mind that like almost all crowd control spells, you want to be careful because any damaging attacks to your victims, well, may potentially break the spell's effects. So if you're questing or in a dungeon or raid, make sure you use it wisely. But if you're on a battleground, well, that's different. Because then, my advice would be to abuse it. The Howl of Terror spell, another great reason why people hate Warlocks.
Trumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgrew, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, do I really have to cook a big meal and have all those family members over for the holiday? Holidays really are the best times for family members to get together to celebrate. The main reason is that a holiday has a beginning and an ending, and you can tell them all to go home until next year. This is especially important if you have in-laws, since they will jump at any excuse to be underfoot, making a general nuisance of themselves. Check for yourself. It is in your marriage contract. Of course, you could always meet their holiday greetings with a blank stare and tell them that they are horribly early because dinner is not for another month and a half where you live. That'll get them in the Yorkshire pudding. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.